Right. So next Sunday will be our joint service. On the 9th is when all the guests are coming. John and Kristen go, Genny and Sony. And I would love for everyone to be here, youth, and I'm going to ask them to pray for people, John and Genny, Sony and Kristen. So if you have some people who are in need, some healing, some deliverance, bring them on June 9th. Save them. Don't bring people who need deliverance today, okay? Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. Right. A movie made in 1987, The Princess Bride. How many of you have seen this movie? Yeah, it's classic. You know, Peter Falk as the grandfather, Fred Savage as the grandson. Humperdinck, Humperdinck. Okay, that was a Carol King. Anyway, there's a backstory to this. So, during the middle of the week, I'll pray for our church, different individuals, different groups. And so this week, it was interesting. I'm praying, and I entered into an imagined dialogue with a guy, someone here. I'm not going to mention the person's name. It's irrelevant, okay, for the sake of this message. And so as I enter into this dialogue, I ask the guy, hey, how is it going? And then he says, in this prayer time, he says, you know, I'm just trying to survive. Work is busy, got things at home, you know. Then I ask him, like, how's it going spiritually? He goes, oh, it's good, you know, it's good. And then I ask, you know, are there anything you're really going after? You know, I want to be a good father. I want to be a good, you know, good Christian, good husband. So that scene ends. Nothing bad about it whatsoever. So, and it's the kind of conversation I would actually probably have with any person. It doesn't have to be a guy. It could be a woman. How's it going? You know, I'm trying to survive. How's church? It's good. How's family? It's good. You know, what are you thinking about? Work, my parents, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know. And so I would say that would be the content, you know, the stuff of what we would talk about. And so so as I entered into prayer and in this kind of imagined dialogue, I snapped out of it, and there was something missing. As I had that dialogue, there was something missing, and I couldn't name it right away. I couldn't name, like, what is this? What is missing in this dialogue? And that's where Inigo Montoya shows up. Inigo Montoya. And so let me play you the script first, a little scene for the sake of everyone. The first scene, we'll watch the scene, and then I'll unpack a little bit about why this figure and this scene showed up. It's a real short scene. Okay. We're not going to watch all of it.
Kill the Dark One and the Giant, but leave the third for questioning.
Hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
And we're going to stop the scene, okay? So if you've seen it. So the guy who runs away is Count Tyrone Ragoon, the six-finger man. And the figure played by Mandy Patinkin is a man named Inigo Montoya. And so the most famous line from the movie is this. And in fact, in interviews, the actor, Mandy Patinkin, who's extremely talented, great singer, great actor. Before this movie, he was probably famous for being on Broadway, Evita. Okay. Evita Perón. And he said, everywhere he goes, when people meet him, they always ask him to say this line. Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Now, his own father was going through cancer at this time, and that's how he got into this character, you know, to say those lines. And so in my prayer time, Inigo Montoya shows up. And he has something that in my imagined conversation my friend did not have, and that is a personal purpose for living, or personal mission statement. What's lacking in many of our lives is this real clear focus: why are you here? And this is a movie, of course, but it relates to us. Now, the purpose for Inigo Montoya is not entirely good. Actually, the six-finger man ends up dying, and I'm going to play the second scene. Okay, this is near the end. There's the second scene.
It's very strange. I have been in the revenge business so long. Now that it's over, I don't know what to do with the rest of my life.
Okay, if you didn't hear that, he says, it's so strange. He's been in the revenge business so long, but now it's over. He doesn't know what to do with his life. And in fact, this line to the actor is his favorite line, because he said, as a 30-year-old, when he made the movie, but he was actually 35, he didn't really think about it. But in this interview in 2010, he said, as a 58-year-old, the line that speaks to him is this last line. Like, revenge is not worth living for. Okay. Now, my point isn't about revenge or not. It's the purpose. It's the purpose. Why are you here on the earth? Besides being a good person or a follower of Jesus, those are all good. Okay. One of the great gifts of America is we get to exercise some choice. We get to hear God, and whatever calling that we have, we can make it alive. We could realize it. Certain places, like in North Korea, you are limited with choice. But in America, you have choices. You have freedom to hear God and hear from the Lord what you're called to be. Okay? And I would love for all of us to say, you know, hello. You know, for some reason they think I'm a demon caster, but let's say I am a demon caster. Hello. My name is John Lee. And I would say to the demons, you have tormented many souls. Be prepared to be cast out. You know, if my calling is an exorcist or a person who does deliverance all the time, that would be my personal mission statement. That would help me to focus my attention, and I would know this is the main area that I need equipping. This is the main area I need to grow in. Now, we have a mission statement from the Bible. This is not a message about a movie. This is just an example. Okay, I'm just going to read the beginning of Romans. Okay, Romans 1:1-7. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Hello, my name is Paul. A doulos, a slave, a servant of Christ Jesus. Called to be an apostle of the gospel of the Lord. You don't know the gospel, I am here to make that known. So for Paul, it's not just a matter of being just a good follower. That's included. What focuses his attention is his calling. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. That's the general category for him. And for you, many of you, it's going to be son of God, daughter of God, friend of Jesus. That's general. Wherever you go, that's always going to be true. But there's a particular calling for Paul. We're not all called to be apostles, but he was. But I believe if you inquire, the Lord will speak to you. Servant of Christ Jesus, an apostle to the Gentiles. The bearer of the good news, a messenger of the gospel, and I am here to make that known. So in all of his travels and all of his life or ministry energy, that gets the bulk of the attention. Because the calling of God is of eternal worth. In other words, that's his definition of success. Is your life a success? Is your life a success? You know, we'll talk about like a successful career. When someone is retiring, and if we have a conversation, hey, what do you think? Well, I'm thankful that I had a successful career. Now, without the person fully elaborating what that is, I'm going to have certain thoughts in my mind what a successful career is. A career that grew, that blessed people. It's got some element of thriving. Like if you're a successful business person, it's going to be a story of sort of rags to riches. I started out with very little. I developed my company. I hired a lot of folks who were overlooked. It grew, and I was able to bless people. Like Esther's dad, his is a life of success. About 6 months ago, this is actually around maybe August, maybe almost close to a year ago. We were in downtown D.C. We were together, our family was together with Esther. Ginny was there, and Karen was there too. There was an Asian American sort of society meeting, and someone reached out to Esther's dad and said, "Did you know that your dad started the first Korean restaurant in all of D.C.?" She really? And they had a picture of Esther's dad next to the most famous Korean American at that time, Jun Rhee of USA 1000, the Taekwondo guy, Jun Rhee. He's there, and on the table is Esther's grandmother, Jun Rhee's mother, and Esther's grandmother-in-law. Picture. He started a Korean restaurant. Eventually, it was not a success, so he moved on. Okay. He did another restaurant, and then he moved on, and finally got into the golf business. Washington Golf. If you remember the old Washington Post, that was started by Korean business people. Okay. So like Esther's dad, I would say, has a story of success in business. And this is really touching because the business is called Golfdom on Route 7. And Esther's dad actually ended up selling at a very low cost to a guy named Buddy. Buddy was a kid who would work at that store as a high schooler. Esther's dad groomed him, loved him like a son, and in time when he retired, said, "Buddy, this is yours. At a real discounted price, this is yours." Buddy worked at it. He ended up selling it to a larger conglomerate, made a lot of money. So when somebody says, "I had a successful business," something like that comes to mind. But what if I were to ask you, how about instead of business, your life? Is your life a success? Some of you may just scratch your head like, I know what it means for a business to be successful, but I have no idea for a life to be successful. Maybe it doesn't even apply. But I think there is a notion of success, an understanding of a successful life. Now, in business, is one of growth. Maybe in your personal life, there isn't an analog of growth. But as a follower of Jesus, I submit that success is faithful. Every Monday, the three pastors, me, Pastor Q and Pastor Danny, we talk and we pray together. And just recently, Pastor Danny said, we were going through, like, he was mentioning this book that he's been reading, The Life You Want. It's co-written by Oprah Winfrey and this professor of psychology from Harvard. And he was telling, it's like a Myers-Briggs. You know, some people, it's people's response to both negative things and positive things. So if you're hypersensitive to both good things and negative, you're the mad scientist. Like, you'll be motivated. If you're only motivated by the cheerleader, I mean the positive, you're a cheerleader. Like, if you get criticism, you just don't do well. You need a lot of good news. So that's the cheerleader. For some, when you hear good things, you're just not that moved. You know. You respond more to negative things. That's the poet. And if you're even keel, good or bad, you're able to be objective, you're the judge. So Danny says, "Yeah, I'm a poet, you know, tend to be negative." And he said, Mondays are so depressing for him because as a pastor, on Sunday, he said he can't help but count the number of people at the church. It's 30 to 40. And on Monday, he is so depressed. Now, with Pastor Danny, he had a large church in New Jersey, Joy Christian Fellowship, hundreds of people. Here's a church in LA that he's pastoring, many of whom are not from Christian background, so it's hard. And so he said, in order to deal with his depression, he says, "I redefine what it means to be successful. It's not the size of the church. I ask myself every Monday, was I faithful to Jesus?" And when I heard that, I go, "Well, that sounds biblical. That sounds biblical." Now, he's working on the premise that there is such thing as success or being faithful to one's life. That on the opposite end, there is a life of failure or a life of unfaithfulness. Okay. And I bring this up mainly because of what I got in prayer. You know, again, this is some of these messages are not something I sit down and chart out. It's more often it's me just praying for people, praying for our church, praying for myself. I want to hear, and this week, this issue got highlighted. And I felt the nudge of the Lord. The Rock people need to know what they're called to be. Because success or faithfulness, okay, depends on, okay, a criteria. Successful according to what? Faithful according to what? Okay. So if you don't have what it means to be successful in life, then you will just do life one day after the other. You're just going to respond to the daily challenges, whether it's work, family, kids, whatever. And you could and the day sort of the day-to-day challenges are so full, it's pretty easy to live all the days of your life day to day. Up until you are sick or you're old, let's say, and you pass away. Day to day. You don't take a moment's notice about who you are or what life means. I think that's the insight of Socrates, actually. The unexamined life is not worth living. He was on trial for impiety in ancient Greece. And he knew death was facing him. He was threatened with death. And he says in the course of this interaction with those in authority, he says, the unexamined life is not worth living. What he's saying is, I am reflecting on my life. I am choosing the way of truth and wisdom, and I'm okay with dying for the sake of truth and wisdom. Okay, that's worth living. Indirectly, what he's saying is, the unexamined life, a life much like an intelligent animal, is not worth living with the dignity that comes with being a human. Animals live day to day. We've been babysitting, dog sitting Rosie, Esther's dog. So Susanna and Serena came here to church before, and so Jonna's at home working on her med school essays. And the dog is nervous. I can see, like, the dog's near me. And so Jonna comes down and says, the dog is attached to Serena, okay? Serena's been walking her. So the dog goes upstairs next to Serena's desk to see where she is. She's not there. Then she runs down to see where Serena is. Okay? And I call Jonna. Jonna, you gotta take Rosie because she's looking for Serena. Okay? Now, as a dog, that's pretty intelligent. That's pretty aware. Okay? But Rosie, as a dog, cannot consider her life as a whole. She does not consider, I'm a lapsa poo, part lapsa apsa, and part poodle. I live in a big home in Virginia. I'm in the small home. I'm sure in my small home, she's thinking, like, why is it so crowded here? Esther's house is big, and so she's got a lot of places. Like, why are all the people so close to one another? I don't know what she's thinking. But as a dog, she's limited. She can recognize you. She has affections. But as a dog, she cannot consider the quality of her life. This sounds kind of rude for me to say, but many people live like dogs. An intelligent dog, a lovable dog. They don't consider the quality of their life. They don't regularly step back and say, am I being faithful to God? Am I being true to God's calling? Are there areas that I need to grow in as one who's called by God? Our energies are spent on far lesser things. I'm not going to mention those things, but whatever your hobbies, whatever your interests, you put more attention on YouTube, online, searching out things, rather than praying and searching out, figuring out whether or not you are being faithful to God. Right? One is eternal, the other is temporary, and we put far more of our best energies in the temporary. Okay? And we miss out. I want to talk about what happens on the positive end, on the positive side. What happens to a person whose personal mission statement is known and lived out? First thing is, there is a clear focus of how to spend one's time and energy. There's a sense that time is important, and there is a sense that how you spend your time is worthy of the Lord. That one's life in that regard is a way of worshiping God. That the gift of God, this life that God has given me, is actually my way of worshiping God. That I am giving my life as a living sacrifice. And that my greatest gift to God is my life and my faithfulness to His calling in my life. But in order for me to live that out, I need to know what I'm called to be. Yeah. And so for a person like Paul, there's a clear focus. And where there's a clear focus, there is a clarity of values. Paul is not called to be wealthy. Money is not something he's going to worry about. Actually, for Paul, marriage is a hindrance. He actually advises the believers, if it's possible, be single. Then you could be fully devoted to Jesus. But some of you can't handle your lusts, your desires. So, get married. That's his attitude. Now, Paul says that this isn't of the Lord. This is my personal attitude. So it's very clear for Paul that the calling of Jesus is number one. And you do everything you can to fulfill that. And for him, giving one's total energy to the gospel is number one. So, folks, young people, he would actually, if we invite Paul to here and ask him to preach to the young, he would say, how many of you are single? He would actually say, my opinion is you stay that way. That's his view. And he will make allowances. Those who really can't deal with singlehood, okay. Second best. Plan B, you could get married. That's his view. Right? Because he knows what's the value, and that value, that ultimate value, sets in place all the other values. It's totally intentional, totally informed. Okay? So there's a clear focus, clear value, and when you have clear focus and clear value, you know what you need to invest in. Okay? And of course, this is applicable to all areas of life, right? Whether you're a doctor, an athlete, or a carpenter, you will work at your craft. Some of the things that you're called to be takes time for you to be knowledgeable, to be skilled. Whether you're a lawyer, or chef. My sister was a dog walker for many years. I mean, she was an excellent dog walker. Whatever you're called to be, you know, wow, I need to be really good at this. You would analyze your strengths and weakness, and where you can shore up your weakness, you will, and where you can strengthen your strengths, you'll do that. But there's a real kind of practical focus and an engagement in that trade or craft so that you become the best whatever you can be. Best handyman, best plumber, best carpenter, best medical doctor, best software engineer, best researcher, best writer, best teacher, best film editor. You're going to work at it. You're not going to waste time. Okay. And so when we see that there is a focus, there is this understanding of one's life within the framework of being faithful. I want to be faithful to you. I want to be found faithful to you. Jesus, when I see you face to face, when I die or when you come back, when you say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," I will know what you're talking about. I will understand your acknowledgement. And I would want to say to you, Jesus, my pleasure. Jesus, it was my joy. It was my honor. What I don't want to find myself, what? Excuse me? What did you call me to be? Oh, somehow I missed that. I was so busy with life. I missed that. Sorry, Jesus. Yeah. Hello. My name is Hanzu. You, sickness, are making life miserable. Prepare to die. Now, you know, it's like that would be a mission statement. Okay, for Hanzu. Hello, Serena's going to hate this. My name is Serena, a storyboard artist of Jesus. Be prepared to be awed by God's creativity. You know, that it's not just some of you are already in your calling. Hello, my name is Shin, my friend, intercessor of God. See the intervention of God. Okay? Your calling does not need to take a public position like an intercessor. Okay? There's no, Shin doesn't get paid for praying 12 hours a day. There's no like one ads. He doesn't go on Craigslist. Oh, intercessor! How much is the pay per? Okay, no. He's just responding to God's calling. No one knows about his calling except, you know, his family and a few friends. Of course, it's the Lord. But that's his primary calling. Hello. Guess who knows his calling, though? The enemy. 100%. My name is Shin. Hello, my name is Suzanne. Initially I put benefactor of God, receive your blessing. She's not here. I'll have to share this with her later. Hello, my name is Suzanne, daughter of the God of abundance. Receive your blessings. She's always had a heart for the poor nations. That's her motivation. Your personal mission is your primary motivation for life. It's what animates you. It's the thing that gives you oomph and fire. It's the thing that makes you want to wake up and work at it again. Okay. I thought of today, not just as this message, but I want all of us to have a ministry time. Okay. We're going to first ask the Lord to speak to us. Okay. Now, this is the only time, but I want you to really, if you don't know your calling, you need to seek out God's calling for you. If God knows us personally, He's going to speak to us personally. You're not some like random. Hi, my name is John Lee. You know, generic human being. Doing generic human things. Many of you actually have not spent time to inquire of the Lord. It's not the case that God hasn't spoken. You haven't placed a high enough value on the Lord in this area. You have not sought after God's heart and face and say, Lord, what are you calling me to be? Not my will, but your will be done. And actually, that was the theme that left me feeling sad, a little bit empty, middle of the week. You know. Because I asked the Lord, why is this person answering me this way? And the Lord says, because they never sought me that way. They never asked me about their calling. That's why that person is telling you he's trying to survive. Trying to be a good dad, a good husband, to be a good church person. That's it. Because this person did not actually seek my face. That issue never came up. So that's why I felt a little depressed. And then I said, Lord, what do I do then? Inigo Montoya. Thank you, Inigo. So we want to hear from the Lord. And you're gonna say, once you hear, we're gonna practice, we're gonna share it with one another. We're gonna follow the same formula here. Hello. Notice it's not a comma, because there's a definite stop. Hello. Period. Me llamo. No. My name is, you say her first and last name. Nicole Noble. Now, with Inigo Montoya, what's implicit is this. If he had a fuller line, it says, Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya, loyal son. You killed my father. Prepare to die. He's seeking to avenge the death of his father because he is a loyal, devoted son. If he wasn't, he wouldn't be risking his life to do this. So in this exercise, you're going to say, Hello, my name is, and then give yourself a descriptor, okay? Daughter of a God, God of abundance. Son of, you know, so for me it would be like this. Hello, my name is John Lee. Son of a God of truth and love. And I would say to the church and the world, receive your freedom. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Receive your freedom and receive your homecoming. That's what love is. You are home with the Father. That's what I would say. Hello, my name is John Lee, son of God, of truth and love. Receive your freedom and your homecoming. Okay? You need to be able to put into words who you're called to be. This is basic Christianity 101, knowing what God is calling you to be. Okay? Of course, disciple of Jesus, Christian, friend, but what is your special sauce? Special calling. What's your contribution to the world? What's your place in God's kingdom? It may not be necessarily your 9-to-5 job. It may not be. It could be. It could have a formal title, like me, as a pastor. That's easy. But many callings in God's kingdom have no official title. Intercessor, friend, healer, deliverer, truth teller, encourager. Okay. So you're going to say your name, a descriptor of who you are, and then you're going to say to the world, or to the church, to somebody, or even to the devil, your version of prepare to die. Prepare to receive. Okay? You guys game? Ready for this? Okay, so I'm going to ask you to just gather in groups of like threes, three or four, okay? Okay, everyone, just be with somebody. So Jimmy and Serena, that's good. Two, any, more than two. Two, three, four. Nancy, Sarah. Okay, everyone gather. If there's no answer, that's okay. This is your homework, okay? This is your homework. If you don't have the answer. And secondly, don't be falsely modest, meaning all, okay? I want you to, we're going to exercise, okay? Truth hearing and truth telling, okay? Okay? And this may change, okay? But it's important for us to exercise this. So let me begin with prayer. So, Father, we ask that you would speak to us. Speak to every person in this room today about who they're called to be beyond a follower of Jesus. Father, we want to honor you by knowing who we are in you. And we want to be bold and unencumbered and unashamed, unembarrassed to let people know our calling. Just like Paul says, I am an apostle, I am a servant. So that in the others knowing of who we are held accountable. So Lord, this afternoon, speak to us, encourage us, empower us, bring some focus and clarity and the values that go with it, go with our calling. In Jesus' name, amen. So ask the Lord and
hello, my name is Inigo Montoya.
You do your version, okay? After you share, you could pray for one another, okay? For those who have like no clue who you are, you could come up to the front later and I'll tell you who you are, okay? If you still need some time, maybe after the service, you could continue, but for the sake of our own time together, let's wrap up. Again, this exercise isn't just for today, but go to the Lord, maybe every 6 months. It's good to be affirmed, be reinstated, and then depending on the calling, some are the calling of a lifetime, some are seasonal calling. Okay? And so sometimes the seasonal calling is to really, well, it's going to take your attention. You know, whether it's taking care of elderly parents or taking care of some emergency situation. And at that seasonal time, you may be called to be a lover or an intercessor, one who exercised God's forgiveness, you know. But also seek out your overall calling. So certain themes of your life. The Lord's going to give you some banners over you. Okay? Even as I was standing, I was looking at the people like Nancy. I felt like the Lord was saying, "Hello, my name is Nancy Lorraine. Daughter of God's boundless love. And I think you're going to bring healing to people. And you're going to say to, especially women, receive the Father's embrace and celebration." Something along that line. So that's a theme for your life. And often when the Lord touches us this deeply, that becomes our theme, a banner, everywhere we go. We all... None of us get the full, we don't comprehend God. No human being is able to fully understand God. We can apprehend certain aspects of God. And some of you will be experts in certain aspects of God. Whether it's mercy, power, deliverance, certain aspects of God will be highlighted. Whether it's hope, except for Helen, the manifold, you know, so that's some of you will have some, so the manifold thing. For Diana, I think it's like overcomer. I think that's going to be a big theme, you know. And so some of you will have, and some of you won't relate to it because it doesn't feel like that's your natural self. It'll feel like, well, no, that robe is too shiny for me. It's too big for me. And the Lord's going to adjust your view of yourself. Some of you are too humanly modest, and you have the inability to receive what God is calling you. I remember many, many years ago, Pastor Elijah Kim was praying for me. This was like 2000. Let's see, I got ordained 2006, so it was at that time. He was praying for me. He says, "You're a prophet, but you don't believe in." And that's exactly how I felt. You know, you're prophetic, but you don't. You're too humble. You don't feel like it. And that's exactly how I felt. He said, "Elijah Kent, you're a prophet, but you don't believe in." And I said, "Absolutely." And so for me, in this whole area of the prophetic, I felt ill-equipped. I felt not fully gifted. So I had a certain view of what a prophetic person is supposed to look like and do. I wasn't convinced that that's me. And so the barrier wasn't God. It was my own self-imposition. I'm not that person. I can't be that person. I'm not that gifted. And some of you have that thought, like, I failed here, I'm too weak here. I can't be an intercessor of the nations when my own family's a mess. Like, how am I going to do that? Okay. And so in all these things, just ask the Lord and go with what the Lord tells you. Don't put conditions. Go with what the Lord tells you. And some of you will be the opposite of where you are. If you are poor, the Lord may still speak abundance. If you are dealing with illness, nevertheless, the Lord may call you to healing. Okay, so don't think just naturally, in other words. Just make it simple, hear from the Lord and say, "Lord, whatever you say, if it's you, I'm going to believe it." You ask every person in the Bible, "Abraham, you going to be a father to the disciples? Are you nuts? Look, I'm almost 1,000 years old. I got no kids. David, you think you're going to be king? My friends are sheep. I have no connection to the higher ups. We got no royalty in my family. What are you talking about? Hey, Peter, Andrew, James, John, you guys are going to be like amazing apostles. You're going to change the world. What, selling fish? That's what we're good at. We're good at catching fish and selling fish." Jesus, "Oh, no. You're going to be a fisher of men." So those are just totally opposite of what they're naturally thinking. And so you just need to be open to God's calling. Just be open. You don't have to tell God what He needs to tell you. Especially young people, you just need to be open to what God says. Okay? God spoke to Joan of Arc to be a mighty general, soldier. God spoke to Harriet Tubman, who's an amazingly prophetic person. Jesus spoke all the routes to her. Doesn't matter what people say. You got to hear what God has to say. But when He says, you have to hold on to it. Because if you don't hold on to it, that's going to be a lack of doubt and unbelief. Okay? And you're going to lose your inheritance. So you need to hold on to it and fight for it. You have to fight for it. Therefore, you need to repeat it. Write it down and say, "Lord, you call me to be this. I believe it." But there's so much resistance. And the Lord will say, He'll do His own version of the eye roll. Like, yeah, there's going to be some resistance. Right? That comes with the territory. There's some spiritual stuff happening. John, don't you know there's like darkness opposed to you? Why is it so hard? It's supposed to be hard. All right. Okay? So get into the dialogue with the Lord. May the Lord speak to you. So you and I do not waste our days. Do not waste the gift of your life. And the only way to not be wasteful is to hear from Jesus and to sell into his kingdom through your faithfulness to his calling. Okay? So ask for your calling. Whether it's intercession to an apostle, you know, the full gamut. Okay? And then ask for certain themes. Lord, what's the theme? That theme is usually what gets your attention. Some of you is love or healing, hope, faith, power, miracles. Others of you is like, all the items on menu A, that's what I want. Everything. Yeah, just give it all. Okay. Including the appetizer and the dessert. Just give it all. Okay? You just go with it, okay? The Lord is generous. So, Father, we thank you today. We love you today. We trust you today, Lord. Jesus, we thank you that you have not abandoned us. You would say, hello, my name is Yeshua HaMashiach. You would say to the enemy, you're dead already. Not be prepared to die. You are dead already. And you would say to the world, I am alive. And to us, you would say, I am your friend and Lord. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's who you are, Jesus. You are the beginning and the end, and you are all in between as well. You are the beginning and the end, and everything in between. You are the all in all. You are the complete one. You are the fulfillment of the Lord's promises of Scripture. You will come and restore your kingdom. No stone left unturned. You will take care of every item, every dot, every small thing you will take care of. Therefore, Lord Jesus, we trust you 100%. No remainder left to unbelief. 100% trust in you. You are the great one, and you are not shakable. Not only are you not shaken, but you are not shakable because you are the Creator. And so, Lord, we honor you. We love you. Release that joyful confidence. I pray for it. A joyful confidence in those who know you. A joyful confidence in their identity. It's your faithfulness that's going to sustain us, not ours. Your faithfulness. And you don't mind repeating things that we keep on forgetting. You do not mind repeating things we keep on forgetting. You will keep us. You will keep us near to yourself. There's always a tomorrow in you. I just speak that over Angela. There's always a tomorrow in you. The Lord is over your family, Angela. The Lord is over your family. You are the overcomer, 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 overcomer. Just keep on praying. Keep on praying. Not flesh and blood, principalities, darkness, distortion, sin, bondage. It's rooted, it's inside. The Lord's going to bring some deliverance and freedom. Do it, Jesus. Do it, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If we would all stand up and close the final song.
stand beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Jesus, with Jesus the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one that could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. Live for you, oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will never be, I will never be shaken. There is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those. I will build my life. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Many of you are experiencing experiencing sort of the wideness of the Lord's love, His embrace. He's not worried, therefore you don't have to worry. But nevertheless, I challenge you to pursue Him. Okay? I ask you for your own life's sake to pursue the heart of God. Seek His face. It's the kind of tiredness that will not make you tired. Seek His face. Devote your affection. Devote your time to seek His face. And believe when He speaks to you. Get out of your basement. Go out on the sun-drenched patio. I just see some dark thoughts, just of kind of depression and lack of energy. I just dispel that in Jesus' name. Just dispel any darkness, any depression, any weight, any sadness. I cancel all doubt in Jesus' name. All just sort of doubt in Jesus' name. Make it simple. Make it open. We just want to enter into your presence every day, Lord. You will speak. You, the God who speaks. You spoke the creation into being. You spoke through your Son, Jesus. You speak now through your Word. You speak through dreams, visions, worship. You speak through our circumstance. You speak through our hearts, into our spirits. You are not mute. You speak. You are alive. So we want to be alive accordingly. So have your way. It's a joy, Lord. We want to say to you, it's a joy to love you. It's a joy to get to know you. It's a pleasure. It's awesome. It's a delight to be loved by you and to love you in return. Set us completely free in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.